Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Stephen Overley, in for Josh Siegel. For those who don't know me, I host our Politico Tech podcast about all the ways that technology is disrupting politics and policy. One of those ways is artificial intelligence, consuming a whole bunch of energy. Exactly how much is hard to say, because AI companies keep much of that information hidden, a practice that some policymakers and activists are trying to change. But Jesse Dodge estimates that a single query to an AI chatbot like ChatGPT uses about as much energy as a light bulb burns in 20 minutes.
It would be great if we could reduce the energy consumption. That has not happened, and there's no reason to believe that that will happen. More efficient AI systems just don't perform as well.
Jesse is a senior research scientist at the Seattle-based Allen Institute for AI. And he not only develops large language models, he also studies their electricity usage and CO2 emissions. And he tells me both are on a rapid rise. And yet, Jesse also says, AI can still be a net benefit for the climate. It's Friday, June 21st. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
I wonder, is there kind of a simple analogy to describe the scale of AI's energy consumption and put it in context?
That's a great question. So we published a paper a few years ago measuring the electricity consumption and the CO2 emissions that are released from generating that electricity for training a single AI system. And what we found was that a pretty small model, much smaller than the models that the people in the public are familiar with today, just training that model released about the same amount of CO2 emissions as the average US home does in a full year.
Wow.
That model was, again, orders of magnitude smaller than, let's say, GPT-3 or, you know, other models that other chatbots that people might use online. And so one could expect for those large proprietary systems, the CO2 emissions just from building them, let alone their continued use, is, again, orders of magnitude larger than what we measured in that work.
The headlines I often will read is like, you know, AI energy consumption will be equal to Iceland or equal to Japan, right? They'll like compare it to like entire countries. I mean, as we sort of get into this discussion, is that even a useful way to think about like the scale of this challenge in front of us?
Sure. And I think an important thing to keep in mind is that what we've seen over the last decade is a dramatic increase in computational cost. So the measurement that we have today, maybe it's comparable, you know, the electricity consumption and CO2 emissions from AI systems might be comparable to a particular country like Iceland. But what we expect is to see this increase in cost continue. There's no reason that we would expect that to stop. So according to some estimates, today, data centers in the United States consume somewhere around like 2 to 4% of electricity consumption. That is expected to double by 2026, according to the International Energy Agency, and could be up to 10% of U.S. electricity generation annually by 2030.
Got it. So these numbers are just going to grow and grow and grow. I mean, this is a very simple question, but why does AI consume so much energy, whether that's electricity or other forms of energy?
I've been doing AI research for more than a decade now. And when I first started out, I could run a really proficient AI system that did what I wanted on my laptop. This increase in computational cost has consistently led to the increased capabilities that we've seen. So just in the last few years, have we seen chatbots that are fun and engaging and can reply in, you know, coherent sentences that actually do what you ask of them. And when I say this trend of increasing computational cost, that is driven by the people creating these AI systems trying to make their models more capable and more engaging.
Got it. So sort of the more sophisticated, the more intelligent, the more interactive these models are, in general, means more energy is being consumed.
Yep, that's right. And that is a really hard trend to shake off. We would love to have a really efficient chatbot or AI system that runs on your phone. And that has just been totally not possible so far.
So what is the environmental impact of that energy consumption? Like, is that something that is really quantifiable today?
So we've got some transparency around the environmental impact of public systems, but there's very little transparency from the private sector. And when we talk about environmental impact here, what we're referring to is these AI systems consuming electricity. That electricity is generated by, let's say, burning fossil fuels. That's one of the largest sources of environmental impact, and in fact, where we do have the most transparency right now.
And just because you mentioned fossil fuels, you know, Republicans here in Washington have kind of indicated that growing energy consumption around AI will need to be sated, if you will, by fossil fuels, right? That we need to be tapping into these sort of natural energy resources. Is that the case? I mean, is the demand today and for the foreseeable future really dependent on fossil fuels?
One of the most impactful decisions that a person building an AI system or putting an AI system into production can make is about the region of the data center that the AI system runs in. The region is what dictates how much of the electricity in that area is from renewable sources versus from fossil fuels, right? So if you have a data center that is built right next to a large hydroelectric dam, then a lot of the electricity consumption of that data center has very little emissions and in fact doesn't have a large negative impact on the environment. So I work at the Allen Institute for AI, and we built a large language model called Olmo, an open language model. And we trained that model on the Lumi data center in Finland, which runs on 100% renewable energy.
Interesting.
So we were really happy with that choice, but there will always be a separate sort of competing need when you have an AI system that's interactive, that someone, let's say, chats back and forth with. That AI system needs to be physically close in proximity to the user. So there will always be a need for data centers and AI systems running on those data centers right next to population centers. So these are really the two deciding factors when someone's deciding where to put their data center or where to put their AI system. You know, you do want cheap electricity, but if you have an interactive system, it's got to be close to the user. And, you know, if we have a user in a large city in the United States, like New York, there isn't a lot of renewable energy there. And so for that user to be able to use, let's say, the chatbot that they're playing with, that chatbot is going to be primarily powered by fossil fuels.
How equipped then are the renewable energy sources we have today to kind of meet the demand, right? It sort of seems like there's a bit of a race between AI, computational power, and like the deployment of renewable energy sources.
The more renewable energy sources we can use, the better. And again, that's an area where we are also seeing, you know, a dramatic increase in the amount of energy from renewable sources in the United States, which is fantastic. So I've seen some reports in California, for example, that there's so much solar being generated during the day that it's more than the grid in California uses. So I am cautiously optimistic that as we move forward, we will see increasing renewable energy being built and that being used to power our AI systems. I will caution that often, especially when we ask for increased transparency or increased reporting, large companies purchase carbon offsets, they measure their CO2 emissions, and then they subtract the carbon offsets that they purchased from the actual emissions that they released. That process has some problems. It's really vitally important for us to be transparent about the actual emissions from our actions today. And then separately, we can keep track of, you know, let's say we bought some carbon offsets and use those to plant trees or what have you. You know, I absolutely encourage that, but these need to be handled separately. And just buying offsets doesn't mean that you didn't actually release those emissions in the first place.
You know, there's all this debate right now in Washington around safety of AI and transparency requirements around safety. Do there need to be transparency requirements on energy consumption? Is that something you want to see?
I would love to see that. Right now, without that kind of requirement, there is very little transparency. So I don't actually believe that we will get much transparency unless we have some required transparency from, let's say, the government. Now, there have been a number of pledges from especially the large tech companies to purchase more renewable energy or, you know, be carbon neutral, what have you. Pledges like that are, frankly, non-binding, and it makes the company look good in the moment, but there's really no need for them to actually meet those pledges on time. You know, they might get some a mention in the press that they didn't meet the pledge that they made 2 years ago. But in that they are non-binding, they often don't lead to significant increases in transparency or accountability.
Right. Well, and a lot of those pledges were made years and years ago before kind of the current state of AI was known. And I have to think AI might be challenging us, some of those commitments that companies made in a different time and place. Speaking of tech companies, though, I'm just curious, and there is a lot of enthusiasm in Silicon Valley for fusion as a clean energy source. Is that something you think of as like a practical energy solution here, or is that like a techie pipe dream?
I think long-term fusion will be a fantastic source. I am optimistic that one day we will have significant energy generated from fusion. The difficulty is between now and then, our primary source of generating electricity is fossil fuels. But the reality is, we have climate change is impacting millions, if not billions of people today, right? We're looking at one of the hottest summers on record. There's predictions about extreme weather events that are happening right now. And nonetheless, we are still increasing the amount of energy that we're consuming and the CO2 emissions that we're putting out into the world just for AI systems.
Right. The idea of this fusion happening one day, it's a little too vague maybe to bank on it for these challenges now. Well, listen, we've been talking about one side of the equation here, which is sort of the sources of the energy. The other side of this, though, is the amount of energy consumed by data centers. What can be done to make AI consume less energy?
That's a great question. Research in this area has been active for the whole time I've been a scientist. Everyone wants a much more efficient, approaches for AI, algorithms, models, etc. Historically, what we've seen over the last decade or so, a dramatic increase in computational cost that has not slowed down. So it would be great if we could reduce the energy consumption. That has not happened, and there's no reason to believe that that will happen. More efficient AI systems just don't perform as well. We want to build the best, most capable systems. And one of the only reliable ways to do that has been to scale them up, to train on more data, to have larger models that are more expensive and use more electricity. Thus far, we have not succeeded in making more efficient approaches that are also better.
There was a hearing on this exact topic in the House of Representatives earlier this month, and there was a quote from Democratic representative named Scott Peters, who said, "The grid is old, the grid is dumb, and the grid is small," which just was sort of funny to me. How much of the problem is our antiquated infrastructure and the fact that we're trying to like power modern AI models on grids that were built for a different era?
That is certainly some of the problem. One topic that often comes up here is some places really do have brittle energy grids, and so the increased demand of AI systems disproportionately affects certain areas. There was an example of this outside of Virginia where a data center was being used much more than it had been previously to pick up on AI systems, and there was a coal-fired power generation plant that was planned to be shut down and had its lifespan extended specifically because of this increase in that particular region of electricity consumption from AI systems. So the power grid and the power demands here are not sort of uniformly spread all over the whole US. There's certain clusters that are impacted much more so than others. If we could also improve the grid and get some kind of improvement in renewable energy and maybe some kind of battery storage or something, I think it would benefit not just AI systems, but also, the people living in those places.
To what degree do you think AI is kind of a solution to this problem that AI is causing?
If this trend continues and we see further increases in electricity consumption and so on, my hope is that AI can be used to help mitigate some of the harms, because AI can be a really powerful tool, right? I view AI as an accelerant. It helps you do whatever you're trying to do faster. So some applications of AI can potentially have much more impact on climate change than other applications. For example, if your goal is to increase the rate of oil extraction, then that using AI for that, it absolutely can lead to further fossil fuels being drilled and then sold and then burned and, released into the environment. On the other hand, there are applications of AI that can help directly mitigate some of these harms. So at my company, the Allen Institute for AI, we have a number of teams using AI for things like predicting, measuring, and tracking wildfires, or tracking endangered species that are specifically endangered, again, because of climate change. And here we believe that these applications of AI, sure, they absolutely, you know, consume resources. They take electricity. They require infrastructure. But we think that the trade-off here is very much worth it.
That was going to be my question for you, which is, on balance then, are AI's benefits to the climate and to climate change, do the benefits outweigh the negatives?
That's a difficult question. I think, so overall, I'll say, while I am an optimist, I also recognize the power of industry here. As people see what AI can and can't do, I expect there will be more, let's say, capitalist-motivated applications of AI, where trying to use AI as an accelerant to do whatever you're trying to do faster won't necessarily align with, you know, mitigating harms of climate change. I definitely expect to see more of that going forward. I think this is a really good opportunity to have a call for more people to try to use AI for beneficial applications and for more, for example, philanthropy to fund AI being developed to help benefit humanity rather than, you know, for the profit motive.
It sounds to me like you're saying, in a way, people will realize there's a lot of money to be made or efficiency to be gained from AI. And when they realize that, it could be like, to hell with the environment, slash and burn, like, let's just get rich and destroy the world in the process. I may be less of an optimist than you are. So the question then is, how much of like the promise of AI for mitigating the climate requires people to come along with it?
Oh, absolutely. The AI is not going to do anything by itself, right? So I actually really like the example of fusion that you gave earlier. If AI systems can help accelerate our fusion advancements and lead us to a future faster where we can get electricity generated from fusion, that's fantastic. Absolutely, I support that. How much AI can help there, I don't know. You know, there's physical constraints when building something in the real world. So I think really, it's more about having resources and people that are interested in using whatever it takes to mitigate climate change. And AI can be one of the tools in their tool belt. And I hope that we see more of that going forward.
That's all for today's Politico Energy. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Afra Abdullah produced today's podcast. Annie Reese edited the podcast this week. Our editors are Matt Daly and Gloria Gonzalez. I'm Stephen Overly. See you back here on Monday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron, who is innovating to help responsibly meet rising energy demand across their U.S. operations, like at their Gulf of Mexico facilities, which are some of the world's lowest carbon intensity operations, helping supply energy that's affordable, reliable, and ever cleaner. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/meetingdemand.